Genesis chapter 2, and for sake of reading, I'm just going to read several passages and get to the point where God wants us. In verse number 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." And that's as far as I'll read. We may read some other verses as we're going through this. I was looking at verse 16 of chapter number 2. "And the Lord God commanded the man." This is the first time that this is mentioned in Scripture, that God commanded the man. Command or commanded. This is the first time that you see this word, that God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So that's why I want to preach about the Lord God commanded the man. The Lord God commanded the man. I have always taken an interest ever since I was a young preacher and found out there was such a thing as a Strong's Concordance. I love looking up to expound my understanding of words. It's not that any of these words ever need to be replaced. And I want you to know that about your Bible. The words that are in your Bible are supposed to be just right where they are. They're not supposed to be any different. And but they do have meaning, and some have greater meaning. I will say this, that the English-speaking people today have lost a greater part of the understanding of our own language. Not like the days when Webster put together a dictionary. In those days, it seemed a lot clearer that they had a great understanding of the English language and the meaning behind the words that they used. Man today has dumbed it down. I mean, we've done everything in our power to just almost slaughter the English language. But it is meant to be used in a very beautiful and a very telling fashion. We don't even use many words that we could use, and it's because we don't know they exist. But they have great meaning. And a lot of times we just, you know, use a short set, you know, so I'm not teaching English tonight. I can't. I'm not an English teacher. I leave that to my wife. But the Lord God commanded the man. I wanted to understand what did it entail. What was the encompass of this that God commanded the man? Did he just say, don't do it? Is that what he meant when he commanded the man? That was only part of the word command here. When the Lord God commanded the man. An interpretation in the Hebrew is that he constituted the man. He commanded him. He constituted him. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, let me just try to preach a little bit and give you a little bit on it. Just right, staying within the text, okay? Not trying to add anything to what God has put here. But I do want to bring out a few things, just show you what it meant when the Lord God commanded him. Now, when he commanded him, he constituted him. There's a lot to be said about that word constitute. We can also use it as us as a being as a whole. We have a certain constitution about us. You've heard it that way. And so I want to look at that first, that God commanded the man. He made the man, didn't he? And he made him a certain way. And that was the makeup of Adam. That was how God commanded Adam to be. And so the first thing is the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. I mean, that was part of his command that he be there. That was part of who Adam was. The man in the garden. Amen. I mean, you look at what we lost when Adam fell. I mean, he lost the garden. He lost this paradise. He lost this part of it. This was part of him, part of who he was, part of everything that there was about his creation happened right there. And God put him there. He gave him purpose when he put him there. He in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Listen, Adam is working before he fell. He is dressing the garden and keeping the garden. He is naming the animals. He had a purpose about him, didn't he? And God commanded him, Adam, this is yours. And God put him there to dress it and to keep it. In other words, Adam, what you see before you, you need to keep it exactly as it is. As it's been created, I put it into your hands. Now, he did say that the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. That was a command. Adam, you can eat everything. Every tree of the garden, freely. Adam, I'm commanded you to eat freely. That was part of who he was, the freedom. Yeah, that was part of his constitution, in other words. I mean, the liberty that God had given Adam. Look what he lost when he fell. That great liberty and freedom. Amen. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. When we see this as the command that the Lord God commanded him not to eat of the tree. But look at all that God commanded him that he could do freely with liberty. See, the command is part of what the man is. It, It was part of who Adam was. Look what the Bible said. The Bible said over in chapter number 2, I read it in verse number 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This is form man of the dust of the ground, body, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And God is a spirit. He breathed spirit into Adam. That spirit. And man became a living soul. Right here, Adam, his constitution is to be like God. In the likeness of God, body, soul, and spirit, a triune being. And here Adam is. God made him that way. This is who you are, Adam. This is what I've made you. This is what I've done to you. I have made you a man. Now I want to tell you what, it is a spit and a slap toward the face of God for man to try to change that God had created him to be from the beginning, a man. Now man wants to pervert everything about that God created. And when a man tries to be a woman or a woman tries to be a man, that is a perversion of the creation of God. That is not what God constituted them to be. Amen? It's not what He commanded them to be. See, the command is not just a thou shalt not and a thou shalt. A command is the command from God was part of who Adam was. I am made to follow and to fulfill the commands of God. This is what God made me to be. And so God took the man and put him in the garden and had him to dress it and to keep it. Now, when you again look at that, and then you see what he lost, and I want to get to something that is right here in plain sight in Scripture that I think, and this is where man gets to when he loses who that he is, and he is not living in that place where God has made him or commanded him to live. And see, that can only be brought back through salvation in Christ. We all lost it. We lost it in Adam. And it can only be regained in the new birth. That God has commanded me again. God has God's put in me His very commands. It's part of who I am. It's just in me to dress the garden. Amen? Are you staying with me? It's in me, amen, to eat from the garden. Freely. It's in you after that you're born again, saved by the grace of God, made that new creature. Now you and I have that great liberty that God commanded us to live in. Now when the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, he slept. God took one of the ribs, closed up his flesh instead thereof, and made the woman. Now, you know what happens in chapter number 3.
The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, if God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now God had already given man everything that he needed. He gave him the wisdom. God told him how to live at liberty. The command that God had put it in Adam. It was in Adam to not eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was not a part of who he was. He was not to have any part of that. That would cause him to surely die. God told him everything he needed to know about that. Now let me say this. If Adam wanted to know anything more, why didn't he just ask the one that told him all things from the beginning? Why would they believe the lie of this serpent? That, you know, that God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, I'll tell you what sin does. It never pans out the way the devil says it's going to. But it will be everything that God said it's going to be. You see, God is truth and the devil is a liar. And it's going to be that way. It just always is. The devil, I mean, he's good at convincing people. It's not that bad. It's not that way. And God said, you'll die. In the day that you eat thereof, you'll die. And that's exactly what happened. But now, when God had made the man, and he told him to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish, and he had dominion, and, I mean, it was his. God had given him the wisdom that he needed. Again, if he needed to know anything extra about this, why not go to the one that created it and that had given him all of his wisdom from the beginning? So, the woman saw that it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired, to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They were nude. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Here's what sin did. Their eyes were open, but not like they thought. They didn't become as gods, knowing good and evil. They had realized they had sinned. And they realized they were naked. And they were now ashamed. The shame of sin was upon them. Even after they sowed fig leaves, it was not enough. They were still naked before God. God still had to clothe them. You know the story. It was not enough. But this is the part I'm interested in. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. That's the first time they ever did that. Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Now Adam confessed here when God said, "Have you eaten of the tree?" He said, "I did eat." But it was not so with a woman. The Lord God, and the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done? You." You see, when God had come to Adam, he was dealing specifically with Adam. "Where have you? What did you do? What did you do, Adam?" When he came to the woman, he said to her, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Now I'm glad she said, "I did eat." But she is, and Adam did the same thing too. It's always that we want God to look, you know, what they were doing this. And no, what did you do? You that I commanded, you that I made and put you in the garden and gave you great liberty. What is it that you have done? You see, God, whether here or at the end, every soul is going to stand before the Lord at some point or another and give an account of what they did. What is this that thou hast done? See, you need to see what you've done. What have I done? What have I done with what God has commanded me? You see, that's where it was all at. It was all about the command. Don't eat of this. You can eat of everything else, but don't eat of this. And the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. God had already given them the wisdom of what would happen if they ate. Yet they ate. Believe God when He says something. When God says He's coming, He's coming. When he says you must be born again, you must be born again. When He says there's a hell from beneath moving for thee, that's exactly what's happening. Adam, what did you do with the command that I had given you? Eve, what is this that thou hast done? It should have been, "I broke thy commandment." Me. I'm responsible. Because they were held responsible regardless of the statement they made, regardless of who they told on. They were still held accountable. It did not stop the fall. Adam saying, the woman that you gave me, she gave it to me and I did eat. And the woman saying, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Regardless of who they tried to pass the buck on, they were held accountable. You see, every individual is going to stand before God Almighty just like they are with what they have done. Well, my parents did this, well, my mom did that, my dad did this, or a husband, my wife did that, or my husband did this, or I remember seeing some, they did this, and I was lied to, or I was tempted, or I didn't know. It matters not. Because when God made us, He made us with a spirit, a conscience of knowing. There's something that God put in man when He made him, and even though we were in a fallen state, Romans said they are without excuse. Without excuse. Now I know people can lose that, and that's what sin does. It sears like a hot iron. And that's according to the book of Romans. It sears that conscience. You're numb. I heard about a guy the other day, and I was just amazed. They was talking about this person, and I was just amazed. It is a teenage boy. And, living here in the mountains, we are accustomed to hunting. Some people in some parts of the United States, they may not be accustomed to something like that. But I'm not even talking about hunting. This guy, it's like he loved finding animals and tormenting them. I'm talking about tormenting them to just see how long they could live. And I thought, what kind of searedness has went on to cause somebody, to where just torture. Torture. I'm not talking about skinning a fish. Are you listening to me? I'm not talking about shooting a deer and putting it in your fridge. I'm talking about some stuff that I don't even want to tell you about. But it was just torture of God's creation. And I thought, what is going on inside somebody's mind like that? And just laugh. Just laugh about it. Laugh about it. Do you know today that there are people, that will even do things to people just like they are dogs and just laugh about it? They could care less. They have, that part is gone. Somewhere down the line, it left. I don't know what's happened to them, but I'm saying, person don't just wake up like that. That's what sin does somebody. One step at a time. Now, when the serpent promised that you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. I looked at this. God had already given her a wisdom. Everything that she had in her before the fall, she was experiencing right there in verse 6. She saw that a tree was good for food. Don't tell me, though, that command's not there on, right there at the very forefront of her mind. Well, she may have been thinking it's got fruit just like everything else. Well, sure it did. But still, God said, don't eat of it. You can eat of it, and in the day you eat, the day you eat of it, you're going to die. So she saw that it was good. I mean, she had a perfect understanding that it was a fruitful tree. It was pleasant to the eyes. It was beautiful, just like all of God's creation that was good. But still, God said, don't eat of this. I've heard people say, you know, how could something so good be so wrong? Because God said it is. It may look pleasant. But if God said, don't eat it, then you don't eat it, regardless of how good it looks. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God told her. It's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The wisdom that she thought she would gain may have been up here, but it wasn't up here. It was in here. She fell. She sinned. She broke that commandment. She disobeyed. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The good was what God had commanded. The evil was what she's experiencing now that she's eaten. Death. They would not have known this until they ate of the tree. The experience of the sin. The Lord God commanded him, don't be involved in the experience of sin. Now you and I, again, we were fallen creature, us that are saved, we were. We still have that flesh that desires. But we have that part of us that's been born again. That can look at it and say, God said not to. It's who we are. Now, born again. It's who I am again. I've lost it. Adam lost it. And now through Christ, it's been gained back. Isn't that good? That God gained that back for us. He told Adam, he said, I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat at the end of verse number 11. When he told him, he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? I commanded you. I told you. I made you. This way. What is it that I want to say this and I'm done for tonight. There's a struggle that happens in the Christian life. And it's the same struggle that Adam, or it looks similar. Let me put it that way, that Adam had right there. I'm so thankful we can't fall again. That's where a lot of people believe you can lose your salvation. They put us right back in the Adam experience with no Savior. Because even after our salvation, it would happen again. It would happen again. It has. But you and I get a clearer understanding how disappointing sin is and how great victory is. And how great the liberty living in what God had constituted for us, commanded for us. Amen? Thank the Lord. Bless your heart. Thank you for being here this evening.